West Tigers 22, St. George 12. Yes, the Tigers having a fine victory on Saturday night. They're back. The kick chase is back. Tim Moulton is back. We're going to talk about all that. Tigers MS is with us as always. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. How are you?
I'm good. We're also going to ask the question, how many wins do the Tigers need to safely make it in the top eight? And, of course, we'll preview the Bulldogs match on this Friday night and have the fans' favourite segment, RMS's Last Word. First of all, we will recap the game on Saturday night. The Dragons opened up the scoring in the 11th minute. Brett Morris got down the left-hand flank and a fine chip and chase over the head of Tim Moulton, and he went in for the try. Tim Moulton starting the game with maybe bad memories, because in round three he didn't have the happiest game and St. George won pretty comfortably. Although this one could be put more down to the fine work of New South Wales winger Brett Morris. 2 minutes later, hooker Mitch Rain caught the West Tigers Marcus defence snapping, and he ran over from dummy half, and it was an 8-0 lead. Centre Chase Stanley again missed with the conversion, and the game went back and forth. There was a couple of big plays. Ray Cashmere pulled off a good one-on-one strip. I thought at that stage they were under the hammer a bit, and if St. George score again, maybe on a wet, cold and blistery night, it might just be a bit too much of a comeback. But Cashmere, who was instrumental in allowing Newcastle back into the game a number of weeks ago that the Tigers eventually lost, I thought he made up for it with that important strip. And then, in fact, thanks to some good play by Bo Ryan and Marika Corabetti, they forced a mistake. Jamie Sauer had a poor pass, and the winger Daniel Vadeau got pushed over the sideline. Then the Tigers got the ball only a couple of minutes before half time in an attacking position, and Tim Moulton running off a pass by halfback Benji Marshall. He went straight through Stanley and Jamie Sauer and scored in the left corner. Marshall couldn't convert. But 8-4 at half-time, the Tigers were back in it. The second half, well, I thought we saw the West Tigers that we expect to see. And they came out all guns blazing. Benji Marshall, beautiful inside ball to Liam Fulton, who went over. And it was 8-all, Marshall converting the try to go ahead 10-8. And that was only 5 minutes after half-time. Then in the 50th minute, Tim Moulton getting in for try number two. He got a simultaneous touch with Ben Cray after Robbie Farrow kicked in behind the posts. And the try was awarded with the benefit of the doubt. Marshall converted. It was 16-8 after 51 minutes. Fulton went over the try line again in the 56th minute, but he was in fact offside. A kick from Farrow hit a Dragons player, then hit Junior Moores. Fulton, who had played the ball just before Farrow kicked it, was found correctly, I thought, to be in front of Junior Moores, and thus a penalty was given to the Saints. And then out of nothing, really, because the Tigers had dominated the second half, Brett Morris got his second try of the match when he, some quick hands from Jamie Soward and also Green, the centre there for the Dragons, although I thought the actual pass was forward, but Morris was awarded the try, and it was 16-12, another failed conversion, this time by Jamie Soward. Still left the Tigers with a 4-point lead. And then in the 71st minute, Tim Moulton making it a hat-trick. A beautiful no-look inside pass from Benji Marshall, and Moulton went over untouched. We spoke about it a few weeks ago when Bo Ryan was playing fullback and Marshall was criticised by the commentators for a no-look pass. But it is something that he does with Tim Moulton. They have a great connection. They're former housemates. And this occasion, it worked superbly. Marshall converted 22-12. The lead up to 73 minutes, and that's the way it ended up. And the West Tigers, well, they did very well indeed in that second half. I thought as good of 40 minutes as they've played all year. Tigers MS, you've got the stats there. You want to go through them?
I do. And yeah, I agree. It was probably their best half of the year, if not in the top three. They scored 4-3, kicked 3 from 4, while the Dragons didn't manage a single goal. That was between Stanley and Soward. Soward missed the one, Stanley the two. Possession was 52% to 48% for the Tigers. It was really good completion rate for the conditions. The Tigers had 32 of 38 complete, while the Dragons had the same amount of attempts of 38, but only completed 27. The total runs, 159 to 144 to the Tigers, and the total metres, there was 2 metres difference. The Tigers made 1,296, while the Dragons made 1,298. The offloads were 6-3 to the Tigers. The line breaks were 3 apiece. And here's where I think the Tigers really, why their second half, why they dominated that second half. They had 29 kicks to 20. But their kick meters, 810 to St. George's 418, which I think helped them with the field position. And the Tigers had 8 errors and the Dragons had 12. Tackles. Tigers made 322 while the Dragons made 359. The Tigers missed only 25 tackles while the Dragons missed only 17 tackles. And the penalty count was 6-4 to the Dragons.
I guess the tackle count also, because of the conditions, harder to make breaks, probably easier for the defending team.
Yeah, of course. But still a marked improvement for the Tigers. They cut down their missed tackles almost by half, I think.
Yeah, they certainly aimed up.
Yeah. Okay, on to the personal stats. And Matt Utai and Blake Ashford both ran for over 100 metres, which was very good. Good to see Blake Ashford starting to get back into the form we all know.
Yeah.
Aaron Woods, 169 metres of 17 runs. He's really just keeps on going. He played something like 60 minutes on the weekend, and same with Keith Galloway. He played 60 minutes as well, and he got 137 metres running. Ellis was 104 metres, and Hyington was 135, continuing his late brain form. Robbie Farah, 43 tackles and 1 missed tackle. Woods and Galloway, 31 apiece. Off the bench, Cashmere and Bell did some nice defensive work with 20 tackles apiece and no missed tackles. And it's an interesting stat. I just got one question to ask. Would you say that Benji had a good game?
I thought so. The first half, the kicking game wasn't the best. And the second half certainly was a big improvement, and obviously he still did well in attack.
Well, yeah. Now, he laid on 3 line break assists and 3 try assists. You know, he didn't actually take one single run the entire game.
Well, there you go.
So, the passes that he made, he's obviously got the ball on a string, and when he starts introducing the run to the game, then it could be some real alarm bells ringing for the opposition teams.
Yeah, in drier conditions, I think he would run it more. But in those conditions, it really is about directing traffic, getting good kicks in. And that leads us to the kick chase, because I thought a massive improvement. This is an area we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. In the second half, Bo Ryan and Corabetti in particular, excellent.
Mm. Tremendous, especially with Robbie coming, jumping out from dummy half.
Yeah.
And kicking to the corners, and he did it on maybe 3 occasions that I can just think off the top of my head, where you had both Corabetti and Bo Ryan streaming down on the players. And Corabetti made a good tackling goal on one of them. On the next one, Corabetti knocked, I think it was Vito off off balance, and Bo Ryan finished him off.
That was the equivalent of a 40-20, really.
Yes, another few instances like that where the chase, where there was hardly any breaks made off the...
There was a lot of goal line dropouts. There was a lot of repeat sets for the Tigers.
Yeah, they did quite well in that way. there was a very, I think second half was very controlled, I think is the word I'm looking for. But they really worked hard for each other, and the only try coming when Matt Utai, I think there's not, between him and Blake Ashford, I think there's a slight problem, communication problem. Because even though I think it was the guy playing centre, Green for
Green, is it?
For the Dragons, and he got away from Ashford, and so Matt Utai came in on him. Where I think if they had a bit more trust or a bit more communication going on, he would have probably said that Ashford would be able to catch him. And really, meanwhile, Utai could keep a mark on Morris, who was extraordinary for the Dragons.
Mm. But I think the winger's general prerogative is to rush in and try to shut down the play.
Yeah.
I actually thought the pass was forward. I mean, you can clearly hear someone yell out forward. I think it's a touch judge, but I guess the referee decided that he was in a better position. The replays were inconclusive, but
it could be the touch judge. It could be players on the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know. It's just the way it goes. And I mean, when they're going at that kind of pace, sometimes they get let go. Sometimes they get pulled up.
And
it's
also,
very much a lottery.
Yeah, and also the mistake made by Ashford led to that try. So the Tigers should have had the ball.
I remember that one. Yeah, exactly right. Because he got away and then
and then
had the ball dislodged, and then he grabbed it again, and then when he hit the ground, it's spurted out again. So
So I guess I was prepared to kind of let that play slide because of the way that it had all come about. But you are right; it is something we have to monitor over the next few weeks. How that little right side edge Ashford Utai combination is going.
Because Utai does jam in quite a bit, and I noticed that against the Dragons. And maybe that's the team rules. And he's meant to jam in.
Look, Tim Sheen has said that they like to slide, but you'll find with wingers, generally, even in a sliding defence, the wingers will still come in off their wing. It's basically up to the winger, and you know, you're 100% right that combination between the centre and the winger is so critical, that communication of when to go in. And the best teams that have done it, you know, over the years, I think Newcastle had it with Gidley there at centre, him and might have been Darren Albert on the wing.
Yeah.
Or might have even been McDougall. Like, there are certain guys, have got that combination down pat. So when the centre comes in, the winger knows to do the same. The centre stays out, the winger knows to stay out. That's kind of the best in the business. That's how they do it. You know, Tahiri's much the same as Utah. He'll come in off his wing pretty much every time, try to shut it down. He's had success doing that, and sometimes he's had failure. It is a bit more of a lottery to do it that way, but it's hard to say what's the better method, because staying out on your wing can often just lead to big breaks, and it's you know you're right, it really does come down to that communication,
I guess. Communication, just picking your time to do it, I guess.
Interesting, speaking about such things as the three-quarter line, because looking at the injury list, Chris Lawrence due to come back in round 26. By all reports, he's going to come back in at 5'8", but I guess the other option is he could come back in the three-quarters. And Lloyd Akeary hasn't ruled out coming back this year if the Tigers can go deep into the playoffs. That's big news from this week. So I guess it remains to be seen. The only other guy that's likely to come back this year is Matt Grote. But whether he makes the top grade or just playing in the youth under-20s competition, we shall see. Actually, one thing I did want to mention before we move on is in regards to Benji Marshall. When he set up that last try, everyone ran to Tim Moulton, the try scorer, getting a hat-trick against the Dragons. But Marshall ran the other way, and he went and found Matt Bell. And you mentioned him with the 20 tackles, but he also did a lot of pretty important hit-ups in those final 15 minutes, a lot of getting the first run from the goal line dropout, etc. And Marshall didn't miss that bit of information because he went running at Matt Bell to congratulate him, first of all, when that try was scored to seal the game. And I thought that something that you've been mentioning in your last words about the spirit and camaraderie and playing for the team, I thought that that showed that 100%.
Yeah, I did notice that. I saw the highlights again tonight, and I saw just after the pass, after he passed it, and he saw that Marshall was going to score, he went charging off.
Yeah.
And that just on that, Bill, I forgot to lax of me, because I only saw he had 6 runs, but he actually had 67 metres for those runs.
Yeah, and he continued, like one goal line dropout, it went straight down the middle, and he had to actually collect it himself. Usually one of the backs will catch the kick and then pass it to the forward for the hit up. So sometimes it's a bit of a nervous moment, especially on such a slippery day as last Saturday night. But he was able to field the dropout and then go for a run. And I've just been so impressed with him all year. I think he's really stepped it up,
yeah,
in the game. And
definitely a good buy.
Very good buy. Well, mate, Tim Maltzen, speaking of the try scorer, 3 tries against the Dragons. What more can you really say? That was certainly the game that he wanted to have, I think, to put those demons to bed.
Right. I agree. 100%. It was almost like polar opposites of the round 3 game.
Yeah.
Apart from, like, he got beat by Morris, but I think I don't really think that the Tigers would have had anyone, even if they'd had, yeah, it didn't matter who they have at fullback. That was perfectly fine. And Morris is just faster than Tim Wilson, and he just beat him to the ball fair and square. No, I think that was the only real blemish that I can think of. But
for sure,
He's definitely, his strength is definitely his running game, and he chimed in perfectly a number of times on the Saturday, especially that chip kick from the grubber from Robbie Farah for Molson to go under the post. That was, Molson was onto that in a flash. Like, he was just waiting off the back of the ruck, and he saw Farah go for the kick. So whether or not they had a little signal or something was on, he was waiting there for it, and he ran through and he got it well. And then also just trailing Benji. Yeah, to be honest, Tim Maltzen didn't really have a right to catch that.
No.
He wasn't expecting it. No one was expecting it. He's gone outside. I mean, I was reading an article on Josh Reynolds yesterday, and he said Benji got him and he was watching the game. But he was there, and he was expecting it. Him and Benji do have a good little combination going there. And it's starting to really pay off. Tim Maltzen has a lot of detractors, whether that be from just him, the way he plays in general, the contract saga, or that kind of stuff. He doesn't have to prove anything to people, but people want him to get better than what he's been at the fullback role. And that was a big step towards it on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at sort of players across the team and the 17 on the squad. And I mean, the expectations on Timmy Mullison is probably higher than anyone else in the team in relation to, you know, ability / what they've shown / what they're getting paid. I mean, maybe Adam Blair would rival.
I think Blair might be ahead of him on that count.
But he's getting paid so much more, is what I'm trying to say. Is that considering his station in the team as kind of the third playmaker, you know, behind Robbie, behind Benji, there's a big expectation on him. And I think probably it does come from the off-field stuff. And, it potentially makes it hard for him. It's the same thing that Bo Ryan has to put up with, although Ryan seems to get it more from the outside because he's on TV. He cops it from the other clubs or other club supporters.
I have heard a lot of that stuff saying, you know, you should get off TV and start playing football, but he's having a career best year. So.
He's been playing well for quite a few years now.
Yeah.
And he just gets better every season. And you're right, this has definitely been his career best so far. And if he keeps improving like this, he's got to be start to be mentioned, at least in City country origin.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You know, like he's reaching that level now of, you know, the elite of our game in the three-quarter line. He was brilliant again on Saturday night.
Yeah, he's been very consistent.
People that, you know, are more interested in his sort of TV personalities and not actually watching the Tigers each week like we do, unfortunately for them, they fail to see exactly how good a football player he is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
And we should move on to this Friday night's preview, the Bulldogs v the Tigers. It's I've got the two teams here, Tigers and the Bulldogs played on Friday night not too long ago this year. However, the Dogs got away with that one. The Tigers have named an unchanged lineup. And we'll read through the two teams for you now. We'll just chuck on some music. The Bulldogs, Ben Barber, the informed Ben Barber at the back. Sam Perrott and Jonathan Wright on the wings. Josh Morris and Kristen Innu in the centres. Josh Reynolds is 5'8". Chris Keating back at halfback. Aidan Tolman and Sam Cassiano are the props. Mick Ennis is at hooker. Frank Pritchard, Josh Jackson in the back row. Greg Eastwood with a lock. It's a six-man bench named by Des Hasler, James Graham, Dale Finucane, Corey Payne, David Stagg, Joel Romello and Martin Tapau. While for the Tigers, as I said, unchanged. Tim Moulton at the back, Matt Utai, Marika Coriambetti on the wings, Blake Ashford, Bo Ryan the centres, Liam Fulton 5'8", Benji Marshall halfback, Aaron Woods, Keith Galloway the props, Robbie Farrar hooker and captain, Adam Blair, Gareth Ellis the second rowers, Chris Hyington at lock, Junior Moores, Ray Cashmere, Matt Bell, Tim Simona and Ben Murdoch-Masila named on a five-man bench. Tigers, MS, which way do you see it going and why?
Unfortunately, I can only see the Dogs getting away with it, just purely due to the fact that they have a lot of momentum. And, of course, that man Ben Barber, who is in some stupid form. they got Cassiano coming back, which is a big thing for them. Look, to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me. It really would not surprise me if the Tigers do get up and win this, because they're coming into the game with a bit of confidence, a bit more faith behind their defence, and their attack still worked fairly well for a wet night. Their handling was quite good as well. To beat the Dogs, I think Sam Perrott's going to receive a lot of the kicks. Kick away from Barber and away from Morris as much as they can. And, you know, I'd like to see the Tigers try and make the Bulldogs pack do a lot of lateral work in the middle. Just go side to side, make the tackles. Hopefully it'll take a bit of stuffing out of them and a bit of... It'll cut down on Canterbury's short passing game, which is so damaging. I'm kind of wavering here, because the kick chase is gonna again be another big factor.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be an even bigger factor, because a lot of the Dogs' good field position is from Barber's good returns or Morris's good returns or Sam Perrott or Inu or whoever is happening to play the wing, because the back three this year have all been very good, whoever it's been for the Dogs. They've all been quite good. But if the Tigers can do that, kick chase well, tackle well, and take their chances. The Broncos should have, by right, should have beaten the Bulldogs on the weekend, but they squandered their chances in the first half, and it came back to bite them in the second. The Tigers need to take every one that they get, and then tackle their hearts out.
There's no doubt the Broncos showed how you could beat the Bulldogs. They just didn't execute. The Tigers have more points in them. They'll need them. It was a great game, I thought, at the Sydney Football Stadium a number of Friday nights ago. The Dogs ended up winning, but if the Tigers play that well again, or even a little bit better, they may get over the line this Friday night. I think with a little bit more to play for, they will, in fact, win that game. They did get on a roll in the second half, I thought, against the Dragons. They looked quite dynamic running the football, or with the football in their hands, without looking like that it could all fall apart at any moment, which, unfortunately, sometimes when the Tigers are playing at their best, it's also one step away from being at their worst. They're a little bit too carefree.
Yep.
The second half against the Dragons, they got the mix right. There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of ball runners, a lot of inside balls, a lot of second phase play. But you never really felt like any of it was going to come crashing asunder. It actually looked all very fluid and fluent and well controlled, with Benji Marshall, the man now with the number 7 on his back, in charge. If they can play like that, they'll have to turn 40 into 80, of course, but if they can, they have the players to do it. The Marika Corabettis, the Matt Utahs, the Tim Moulsons, the, of course, Benji and Robbie. They definitely have the strike power to put up 20-plus points, which is what you'll need against Ben Barber and the Bulldogs. And don't forget Josh Morris, his brother, played well enough last week. The Tigers don't need it to be another Morrisathon. But
no, they don't at all. Because Morris tends to hurt him a lot when he plays. Both of them do, actually.
Yeah.
So it'll be a big effort to keep them quiet.
It will be. And, you know, obviously the forwards, with Keith Galloway back there, I think he's pretty much, what, at 100% this year when he plays. So, with Aaron Woods and Keith up front, and Ray Cashmere, Junior Moores, and Matt Bell coming off the bench, it does look very strong indeed for the West Tigers. And it's going to be a cracking match this Friday night. The referees are Ben Cummins and Jared Maxwell. The record against the Bulldogs, obviously they lost to them earlier this year. They're actually 9-14 overall. 23 matches played, just the 9 wins, with a 504 points. That's an average of 21.91. And then against the 539, an average of 23.43. 39.13 percentage, while away against the Dogs, it's actually better. Believe it or not, they seem to play better against Canterbury away. They're 6-6, so 50% record, while the 4 is still lower than the against, an average of 22.17 to 26.42. Obviously a big improvement, and let's hope that the West Tigers can continue their run and make it 3 on the trot against the league-leading Bulldogs, who I think just might be due for a loss.
Yeah, I agree. They're sitting there a bit ripe for a loss, but it's going to have to be a big effort to pull it off.
And, of course, you can listen to the podcast each and every week by downloading it at www.paulygsports.com or subscribing on iTunes, West Tigers Live. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paulie G Sports and Tigers MS at Tigers MS 78. And it is time for the fans' favourite segment, RMS Last Word.
Okay. Well, the last word, this one. I've done a little bit of stats work.
And okay.
Just illustrating something that perhaps that Tim Sheens has gone on about in a few weeks, and a few of the players have mentioned as well during their, you know, little interviews. Last 2 weeks, the first half, this is first half combined, last 2 weeks, they've let through 30 points in the first half. And the Tigers have only scored 20. Now, the second half is what I'm more interested in. Now, look, Parramatta game aside, where they scored 39, there's still, like, I'm going to count include that. They've scored 57-8 in the second halves of the two games, of the Parramatta game and the St. George game. And it's that defence that is really, that is what that's built on. They dominate in the fence, and then it gives their guys a bit more room to attack because the opposition's a bit more tired. And, you know, they're a bit more frustrated as well because they haven't been able to get through. And it's about that desperation that Tim Sheens is talking about, that being as desperate as the other team who's fighting for your final spot. And I thought that they really put in on the weekend. When they were down against St. George, cut them up early. You know, they recovered and really fought back hard and ground out and then went into half-time with a try under their belt, which, you know, up until the point where they scored the try, they weren't looking particularly dangerous. Then the second half, it seemed everyone decided that they were going to make it their half. So they defended really well, they were kicking really well. Everything was just working a whole lot better because everyone was working off the same page and off the same plan. And it was the unity that the team showed that really got them through. Like, you had Robbie Farah kicking and you had Corabidi and Ryan bearing down all the time. Then you had guys like coming off the bench providing impact, like Matt Bell, we were saying before, Ray Cashmere.
Yep.
Doing the hard yards, making those tackles. And that's what, you know, the team effort is about. Now, what has to happen to this week is they just have to get rid of these slow starts. Because they don't want a slow start against a team like the Bulldogs.
Mm.
All they need is, they just need that desperation and that hunger that they shows in this, that they showed in the second half. That character they showed in the second half against Parramatta. And that they need to pull that for the full 80 minutes. And I reckon they'll go some way to pulling off a big upset and setting themselves up for a tilt at the finals.
Well, there's no doubt that they can do it this Friday. And Tigers and Mass, you've been spot on with your last words in recent weeks. You said about Liam Fulton, other players taking a leaf out of his book. I think they've been doing that. You said about Bo Ryan, other players taking a leaf out of his book. Well, this Saturday night we saw great kick chases, or great chasing, from not only Bo Ryan, but Corabidi, and also Chris Hines, and got in there, and Gareth Ellis, and Benji Marshall was in there, and Robbie Farah. I mean, as we've mentioned, that was definitely an excellent part of the game and a big improvement. So let's hope you're right again this week with your last word.
Yeah, I hope I am as well.
And, of course, we'll do this all again next week. Tigers MS, thanks so much for being with us again, as always.
No worries.
And because they won, we'll leave you with the West Tigers theme song. See you next week. In the night, and they're watching us.
Just a team with a will to do.